through the teaching about the wheat. Amen. Because we're in the wheat harvest. And I want to show that if you understand that totally, you will see that baptism is an essential part of salvation. And I'm going to try and answer the question, well, what about those people who are filled with the Spirit but not baptized? Amen. So let's go on. In Romans, Paul speaks about the fact that this body has got to die. This flesh body's got to die. If it doesn't, all kinds of nasty things will happen. Amen. If this body stays the same way in the flesh as I have it, all kinds of things will come out. Amen. As I said, I used to think that I didn't have a temper. I really did. I thought I'd overcome it for years and years and years and years. I thought, man, I got this thing licked now. I'm not getting mad anymore. Amen. Until the day that guy came in here. Amen. But, you know, I realized then that this body has to die daily. Amen. It's a daily thing because we are still in this flesh. And the Spirit seals the soul, but we still have to deal with this flesh. Tomorrow morning you'll get up and you'll walk through this world. You'll walk through all of the filth and foul, the images, the sounds, the sights that will assail your senses and trying to turn your mind away from spiritual things. But the first step, of course, is baptism. In Romans 8:7, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is the wonderful thing that is hard for us to accept. God already knows that you're going to mess up. Did you know that? When Noah came out of the ark in Genesis 8, he builded an altar. He offered a burnt offering. And if you read it, it went up to God as a sweet savor. And the burnt offering, God said, because man's heart is evil continually from his youth. God knew that man at that point could not live a perfect life on his own willpower, on his own strength. So he knew that we couldn't do it. The law was there as our schoolmaster to show us that we couldn't do it. Amen. No one could really keep the law perfectly. Jesus showed that when he said, if you see a woman and you think about, then you are lusting. So he said, he showed that, you know, it wasn't just the outward things. It wasn't just our outward behavior. And so it proves that God has already discounted that. And so all we have to do is to die daily. To understand that as you leave here tomorrow, your feet's going to get dirty. Some thoughts will come in your head, unbidden, unwelcome. But don't let them dwell there. Don't let them take up room. Don't let them park in your head. Don't let them stay there. You know, sometimes some weird thoughts come to you and I go, where in the world did that come from? And I have to really say, you know what? I'm going to rebuke that thought. I'm not even going to focus on that thought. Amen. So we see that Jesus started off in his ministry talking to Nicodemus, and he said this, you have to be born again. To be in the wheat harvest, you have to be born again. In John 3:4, he said, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Job in Job 25:4 said, how then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of woman? See, God was showing that it's impossible. God already knows we mess up. It's his grace that we are, by his grace that we are saved. Isn't that what the scripture says? I've known some people who claim that nobody saved them, they saved themselves. Nobody showed them anything, they knew it all. They were perfect. Amen. They did it all by themselves. Well, I'd like to let them know that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, none of us would be here tonight. Amen. Job realized that even though he had done his best, he sacrificed for his children. He said, how can a man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of woman? It's impossible. It's impossible. Only through surrender to God and looking unto him can we be clean. If I start looking at myself, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. Amen. It's through the new birth. It's through the baptism. We start on that step of becoming a new man. Born of the water in John 3 does not stand alone. People say, well, what he was really talking about was the fact that we're already born in water, right? Inside the womb, the baby forms in a sack of water, right? And they talk about when the water breaks. And so people say, the only thing you really need is the Spirit of God, because everybody's already born of the water. But I want to show from even this scripture that's not so. You know, it says, born of the water and Spirit. It's not born of the water and or Spirit. It says and Spirit. You need both. So I put an example, just as it's raining cats and dogs, it refers to rain. It's just talking about the intensity of it. So this is our item. This item is our bread and butter, refers to our mainstay item. So when it says water and the Spirit, it's still referring to one birth. Some people say, well, John the Baptist said that Jesus is going to baptize you with fire. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with fire, meaning that there wasn't going to be a water baptism. But that really does fly in the face of the evidence, because on the day of Pentecost, the first thing that Peter said is repent and what? Be baptized. That's the first thing he said when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now let's go to that verse, and I know I'm going really fast. I'll try and slow down. Let's go to that verse, and let's see what it's saying, because Jesus says something twice, and he does it in such a way as to make it crystal clear what he's saying. So in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, Jesus answered him. And in John chapter 3, 5, it says, Jesus answered him. Because I want to show you the equivalent between these two verses. John 3, 3, truly, truly, I say to you. In John 3, 5, truly, truly, I say to you. So far, they're absolutely the same, right? John 3, 3, unless one is born again. John 3, 5, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit. So born again is the same as born of the water and the Spirit. Do you see that? Born again does not mean just born of the Spirit. It means born of the water and the Spirit. So it's both. And we see that in the Old Testament, that as I've said so many times, no one got from out of Egypt into the desert unless they went through the baptism of Moses. John 3:5 is revealed in 1 Corinthians 10:2. Paul says, And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, which represents the Spirit, and in the sea, which represents the water. The one baptism. They needed both to get through to the other side. And of course, you know that God repeated the miracle when they got to Jordan, because 40 years had passed and there had been people who had been born in the desert that had never been baptized. So they had to go through another river and another miraculous crossing where the cloud covered them, where the water was on all sides, and they were baptized again. 1 Corinthians 10:2 says, and we're all baptized. You know, they didn't think, well, it's just an added blessing. You guys go ahead, I'll find a boat to get across. No, they were all baptized. Amen. There was no exception. So let's look at this. Why did God choose water? Well, the blood, we know, is the covering for the soul. And the water represents the cleansing for the flesh. You see, when we come to God, we're a two-part being. We're a body and soul. Right? We're a body and soul. When we receive His Spirit, the Bible says that the Spirit seals our soul. The Bible says, now are you sealed with the promise, with the gift of the Spirit. But what about this flesh? This flesh is still dealing every day, so we have to be cleansed. And that's what the water is for. Psalms 51, verse 2. When David had sinned, he wrote this beautiful psalm. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He goes on in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. So baptism has a cleansing effect. Baptism has a cleansing effect. We see that on the day of Pentecost, that was the message in Acts 2:38. When the people came and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What's the reason? What's the reason for baptism? For the remission of sins. That's the clue. Baptism cleans up your sins. Baptism washes away your sins. I tell you, if people understood that, when you come out of that pool, you'd be so happy, because you would be just like a newborn baby. Your prayers, you would have, if you just understood that your sins were all gone, every single one, the moment you got out of that pool, that's when you should pray some prayers. But what about what happens after we get baptized and we start walking through this world? You know, the moment you leave here tomorrow, you'll hear some curse word, you'll hear something that will just start to dirty up your spirit. You know, dirty up actually your flesh, your fleshly mind. It starts to seep into your mind. The Bible says your soul is sealed, but we still have to deal with this tabernacle, this earthly tabernacle. We can't escape it. You know, if you work in a factory, you're going to hear some people cussing. Let's just be honest, right? And you can't go around to everybody and say, will you quit that? They just will just keep, they'll ignore you. In fact, they may just cuss the more. Who do you think you are? That's why we come every Sunday to get washed by the word, by the worship. Amen. That was the whole revelation of the foot washing. He says, you don't understand what I'm doing you now. See, in those days, they didn't have boots and shoes. They walked in sandals. So as they traveled in dusty, dirty Palestine, you know what got dirty? Their feet. So Jesus was showing by washing their feet that they did not need to be baptized again. Peter said, well, in that case, baptize me again. He says, no, he that is washed, and in the Hebrew, it means baptized, need not but to wash his feet. And the Bible says we are washed by the word. See, that's why you can't stay away from church, because you're going to get dirty. You are going to get dirty. That'll build up on you. You'll get sick spiritually. Amen. For the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Then we can go through all of the baptisms in Acts, of which there are five, but I just want to focus on this one, which was in Acts chapter 10, when Peter is given a vision and he goes to the house of the centurion. Now, the Bible says that also the centurion, Cornelius, had been given a vision, and he had sent a message to Paul saying that the Lord had told him to send for men, and that when he comes, they would tell him words of how to be saved. But this is the point I want you to see right away. Peter had not even really gotten going. Listen to this very carefully. While Peter yet spake these words, he had just started to talk before he had finished explaining. He hadn't gotten to the baptism yet. Guess what happened? The Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost fell. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. He had just began to speak about Jesus and how he had been sent to earth and how he had come to deliver, and the Holy Ghost. He hadn't gotten around to baptism yet, but he still had to finish his message. That's the point I'm making. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Okay, I said all of that to come round to how we are in the wheat harvest. How we are in the wheat harvest. One of the things that we have to be baptized is because the first birth was corrupted. Adam and Eve sinned. The Bible says that, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, how? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, in the first Bible study, I taught about the first fruits of the barley. And I explained Why I believe the Bible says that they are virgins and all of that. I explained how if you understand that the only thing that fits that is a baby, right? Only thing that fits that in a baby. And when you look at the prophecy, the full prophecy that is quoted about Rachel weeping, and you go back to Jeremiah 31, and then the amazing verse after that, which says, "Don't weep, Rachel, for your children shall come back from the land of the enemy." Isn't that amazing? Okay? I taught about that. Now, that was the barley harvest. Those people were never baptized. But they didn't need to be baptized, just as a baby does not need to be baptized. Why? Has no sin. But the Bible clearly says that in the rapture, you have to be the dead in Christ. Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." And here is the key to the wheat harvest: the dead in Christ. Okay? So now, in the wheat harvest, that weeds out everybody who was not dead in Christ. Isn't that so? I'm not making that up, right? That's what it says. So it can't be anyone who did not meet Christ, for sure. It can't be anyone who was not baptized into Christ, because as we shall see, the Bible says to be in Christ, we are baptized into Christ. So the wheat harvest is only for those who are what? Dead in Christ. Dead in Christ. And we are buried unto his death in baptism. Amen. So it's only the dead in Christ are in the catching away or in the rapture. Now let's look at this, the difference. What about those filled with the Spirit but not baptized? Well, they have the Word of God. They have the seed. Right? They have the seed. You can have a seed for a long time, but you will never get anything out of it unless what? Unless you plant it. Do you get what I'm saying? They cannot be in the wheat harvest unless they have been planted. Yes, they have the seed. Yes, they have the seed, which is the Word of God. The Bible said so. But I'm going to show you that unless you're planted, the seed cannot be quickened, cannot be made alive. So they have the Word of God, which is Jesus, the Word made flesh. But the seed is going to stay a seed unless it's planted. And the Bible tells us how to be planted. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now that's what people will quote and say, "You see, it doesn't say anything about baptism. It just says if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." But the Bible is not a buffet. You can't pick scriptures by themselves. You have to take all of it, okay? The point is, yes, the Spirit can quicken or make alive, but it can only make alive something that previously had what? Been dead. And how do we die? We're buried with Christ in baptism. Do you see what I'm saying? But the Spirit cannot quicken the new man if the old man has not died. How do you bury the old man? Baptism. The scripture is true. It's absolutely right. But you have to understand the fullness of it. A seed will not germinate unless it is planted. That's what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians 15:29. Now, this explains why baptism is also necessary and not just an added blessing. It says, "Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead?" What it's speaking about is when we are baptized, we're baptized for our death so that we can rise. So if you're not baptized, then you are not going to be in the rapture. You're not going to be in the wheat harvest. You cannot be in the wheat harvest if the dead rise not at all. Why are they then baptized for the dead? Okay, let's go on. So this is the salvation reason for baptism, so that you can be resurrected. Because if you have been buried with him in baptism, then you shall rise, just as he did in the resurrection. So although people are filled with the Spirit, they cannot be in the wheat harvest because they have not been planted. A seed has to be planted in order for it to germinate. Here is this key scripture. Romans 6:5, and I put it in big red letters. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. What's the likeness of his death? Baptism. If we have been planted, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Do you see that? So yes, you have the Spirit. You're not going to hell, but you're not going to be in the wheat harvest because you have not been planted in the likeness of his resurrection. Yes, you have the seed. Yes, you have the word of God. You're not going to hell, but you're not in the wheat harvest because you have never been planted. In fact, it goes on even much stronger. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? This is pretty tough language here. Thou fool! You who say you don't need baptism, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened. It's not made alive. The scripture did say it will be quickened, but it can't be quickened except it die. And how do we relate to Christ in his death? Again, by baptism. See, for you to be in the wheat harvest, you have to be planted. You can't reap something that you never planted. And we're planted by baptism. That which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. So I know I keep saying this because I keep hearing this doctrine that you don't have to be baptized. The wheat has to be planted to produce the first fruit. Look what Jesus says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, the wheat, fall into the ground and die. See, we are buried with him by, let me say it again so everybody gets it. It abideth alone. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but except the corn of wheat fall into the ground, baptism, and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. Do you see that? You see it? Know ye that, and here's another scripture, that as so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. There you go. When you put all those scriptures together, it's very clear. You have the Holy Ghost, that's great. I'm not saying you're going to hell. You are not, but you are not going to be in the wheat harvest. You're not going to be in the rapture. You're going to have to be in the, actually, you're going to have to be in the oil and wine. That's what you're going to have to do. You're not going to be in the wheat harvest because you have not been planted. I hope that's been very clear. Knowing not that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, Paul is very emphatic. Therefore, you know that's what they do at the end of an equation when they're going to put the answer. They say 1 and 1 plus 2 and all of this. And therefore, here's the answer. QED. That's the end of it. No more argument. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. So it's so clear. If you're not buried with him with baptism, then the seed that you have cannot germinate. It cannot be in the wheat harvest. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I know I've gone very fast, but I want to dispel the idea that baptism is just an added blessing. It's not. It is absolutely essential if you're going to be in the wheat harvest. Now, the people who are filled, who are not baptized, we'll talk about them next week. when I'm going to do the third harvest, the oil and the wine. But if you want to be in the wheat harvest, you have better been buried with him in baptism. You see, if I put on this coat and I'm buried with it, when you dig me up, you're going to find that coat. It might be rotted, but if I don't even put it on, you can't find it when you dig me up. We have to put on Christ by baptism. If we don't put him on by baptism, then we haven't put him on. See, the reason for baptism is because we're a two-part being. We're a body and soul. The Holy Spirit is for our soul, but the baptism is for this flesh, the washing of the flesh. When we are baptized, we come out of that pool brand new. Now, God knows, because the flesh is not redeemed, as we walk through the world, we're going to get dirty again. But then all we need is the washing of the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. It's the washing of the word that keeps us clean. So if you go for months without being in the word or hearing a word, you're going to get very discouraged. You're going to get spiritually sick. You're going to get spiritually emaciated because you need that word to keep washing you. You see, because we're waiting one day for the third part, the redemption of the body. That's what Romans 8 speaks about, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, to wit, awaiting the redemption, the manifestation of the children of God. You remember what I started out with? Jesus said, I've come to manifest thy name. The name that thou gavest me, the name that was given to him was the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's amazing, but God has called us to sonship, that we are going to be, and I say this so many times, that when we see him, we're going to be like him, because we are going to see him as he is. Then when we get those new bodies, we won't have to worry anymore. Satan won't be able to tempt us anymore. This flesh will not be subject anymore to that kind of manipulation. Because the Bible says that death will be swallowed up in victory. When our change comes, the Bible says we shall be changed. In the twinkling, in a moment, we shall be changed. In the scripture, it said that the body that is sown is not like the body that's coming up. If you look at an acorn, it doesn't look anything like an oak tree. Or the greatest example is, of course, a little grubbly moth. And it goes into that cocoon and comes out a beautiful butterfly. That's what God has got for us. A total transformation. But that can't happen unless you're planted. If that moth never goes into the cocoon, you know what happens? He stays a moth. He can't fly away. Do you get what I'm saying? If we have been planted in the likeness of his crucifixion and his death, then we can be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Amen. You see, that's what this is all about. Amen. Washing away of the sins of the flesh. That's what the baptism also covers. Acts 22:10. This is speaking about Paul's conversion. And he is telling the story now, many years later, of what happened to him. And I want to show you again that just being filled with the Spirit is not enough. In Acts 22:10, he says, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? When he saw the light, he said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all of the things which are appointed for thee to do. So when he went to Damascus, he was going to be told all the things that he was appointed that he must do, that he had to do. So now, Acts 22:16 is Ananias speaking to Paul. And he says to Paul, what are you waiting for? Why tarriest thou? Arise! And what? And the baptism is going to do what? Wash away thy sins. And as you do it, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, God told him what he was appointed that he must do. And the first thing Ananias said is, you got to be baptized. What are you waiting for? Don't wait anymore. Don't tarry anymore. Be baptized. That's what God is wanting to show us, that he has provided everything we need. He's provided the Holy Spirit to seal the soul. He's provided the baptism to wash our sins. He's provided the word to keep us cleansy. You know, the word is like the hygiene. You know, you spray it on and you clean up and you have a wash and then you feel good, right? Let's stand tonight. I told you it wasn't going to be long. So don't let anyone deceive you. The baptism is just some added symbol. All you have to tell them is, listen, have you been planted? Because if you haven't been planted, you can't be in the harvest. You may have the seed, but a seed, the Bible said, Jesus said in John, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. That's why we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice, worthy and acceptable. When we die out to this world, that's what Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. But if it died, bring forth much fruit. Now, he said, if you don't do that, then you abide. Yes, you abide, but you abide alone. But if you fall into the ground, if you are in the likeness of his death and crucifixion, then you will be in the likeness of his resurrection. You know, the Bible is so great. Amen. When the Spirit just opens it up and you see how plainly that it has an answer for every question. Next week, I will answer the question, what happens to those who only have the Holy Spirit but have not been baptized? Now, the Bible says if you have not the Spirit, you're none of his. So they are his. But as I said, there are three harvests. Every man in his own order. That's what the Scripture says. And God has given us, amen, us the honor of being in the wheat harvest. That's the only one that gets taken off this earth. That's the only one that is raptured. Amen. I don't want to be in the oil and the wine. No, I want to be in the wheat harvest. I want to be buried with him so that I can be in the likeness of his resurrection. So tomorrow when you walk in the world and your feet start to get muddy from all the things you're hearing, and just remember this, start to get in the Word. Let's find some good gospel song to listen to. Start to read a scripture. Let the soap of the Word start to clean you up. Amen. Amen. Let it start to meditate upon it and let it clean you up. Because, you know, this Holy Spirit is sealing the soul and the Word will wash the rest of this body clean. When Paul went before Ananias, he said, why tarry? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized. Amen. See, the Lord told him, he's going to tell you the things that are appointed. It wasn't a choice, appointed for thee to do. And in verse 16, it is fulfilled. This is Paul now telling his story. He said, Ananias said to me, hey, Paul, you better do this right away. First things first, let's get you baptized. Amen. Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. So don't let anyone tell you that if you have the Spirit alone, that's good enough. No, it's not. Born of the water and of the Spirit. Born again is the same as born of the water and of the Spirit. And I think I've given you enough scriptures tonight to clearly see that unless the seed is planted, Jesus said, it abideth alone. Do you get it? It abideth alone. But if it is planted and die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. We are going to pray. And I want you to meditate upon the word that God has honored us that we can be in the wheat harvest. Isn't that awesome? Not only that, he's provided a washing so that you can leave here tonight free. Amen. Because you know what? You've heard a word that has made you clean. If you put faith in the word tonight, you can leave here clean. That's why Hebrews 4:16 says we can come boldly to a throne of grace. Because his death makes us clean. Now, if you are still feeling bad, you know what? What you're saying is that Jesus is not good enough for you. His death wasn't good enough to fix. Because every single sin was future when he died. Do you understand that? He died for your past sins, even the sins we haven't committed yet. Because while I'm in this flesh, I'm going to mess up. In John it says, he that saith he hath no sin, he just committed one. He just committed one. Amen? He that said he hath no sin. But you know what? He is not looking at us. We're looking unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I'm going to end tonight with my favorite verse in Jude 24. Ooh, unto him, not unto me, that is able, not me, to keep us from falling. And to present, and this blows my mind, present us faultless. So when God looks at you, he's not looking at the you now. He's looking at you, the finished product. He's looking at you as his perfection in the garden. He's looking at you and he's saying, very good. I love my work. I don't make any mess. I don't make any mistakes. If you let God work on you, then all he can say at the end is, very good. Any work that God does is perfect, by definition. All we have to do is sit on the potter's wheel. Amen? Stay on the potter's wheel. The Bible says that the vessel that made was marred, but you know what? He didn't give up. He put it back on the wheel and started to mold it again. This potter makes perfection. This potter will make perfection. We're going to close, but I want you to go away tonight feeling that God is looking down on you and saying, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. You know why? Because of faith, not because of works, not because I'm perfect, but because he is perfect. Because his sacrifice is perfect, because his covering is perfect, because his mercy is perfect, because his goodness is perfect. But we say, that's good enough for everybody else, but what about me? That's what the devil wants you to believe. But I'm telling you tonight, by faith are ye saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't stand up here because of anything but God's grace and his goodness and his love and his mercy. I failed him so many times. But somehow, as the Bible says, underneath are what? The everlasting arms. And as long as we will stay and let him keep working us, in the end, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. Amen. I'm trying to close, but I remember a scripture in Hebrews. It says that he is sanctifying those who he is making perfect. So God is looking at you as the finished work. He's looking at you just as how he looked at Adam in Genesis and said, boy, that's the best work I've ever done. Amen. And if we could believe that and walk in faith, we would have such power with God. But it's because we're so unbelieving and we don't trust his sacrifice and his love that he's able to save to the uttermost. The uttermost. Where is the uttermost? It's as far as your mind can imagine. Satan cannot win this battle. Amen. He only wins if you believe him. A last thing I'm going to say. Someone said that fear is not a lack of faith, but it's faith in the wrong things. Fear is faith in the wrong things. So that you have more faith in God not loving you than you have faith in his love and his kindness and his blessing. We're going to close tonight. But remember this, we are going to be in the wheat harvest. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if I get to heaven, I look around and everyone is there? Wouldn't that be a party? Wouldn't that be a party? Jesus said, listen, I have lost none of them. I've lost none of them. If you will stay in his hand, he'll say, I've lost none of you. Amen. I'm trying to close. God, we just want to bow our head right now. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your word of encouragement tonight. Lord God, that we are...